For flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, I love this part, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. And I not only will do that, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. I mean, in one moment, he is speaking wonderful words of revelation. And the very next, he's rebuking Jesus. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Watch this. Why are you offensing to me? For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Father, in the name of Jesus, there's no question we gotta have you. We have to have you open up our hearts, I pray, God, and our minds to what you want to speak, I pray, God, today. I believe, oh God, there are some principles that you want us to set our foundations on this year that will allow this year, oh God, to truly be the greatest year we've ever had in the kingdom of God. That this year would truly, oh God, not be just cliche, God, but that this would be the greatest outpouring of your spirit and your will and your anointing in our lives, oh God. That this year we will fulfill things, oh God, that we never thought we could. But we're just going to go, God, to a new level in you, Jesus. And I'm expecting the blessings of God. And I'm expecting the favor of God and the hand of God to move like it never has before, because your will is going to be done. So speak to every individual in this place. And we want more than anything else, God, that your will to be done. Amen. God bless you as you are seated here in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. One thing that we know about God in the Old Testament and him revealed in the New Testament as the person of Jesus Christ is that if he had a clear goal in mind, he was going to achieve it. Jesus said that I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. When we look at the very first time that scripture records the words that he spoke at the young, tender age of 12 years old, Jesus said to his parents after they finally found him after 3 days, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. The very first words recorded out of the mouth of the man, praise God, who was God in flesh, made it clear that the first thing I'm going to speak to you about what my purpose is I want to be making sure that you all know and be absolutely clear that everything I do, it's about fulfilling my Father's
business. God is about his business when it comes to his will and when it comes to his plan. Like Pharaoh in Egypt, Moses told, praise God, was told by God that I will allow my people to come out of bondage. I will allow my people to come out of that place of oppression and years of heaviness and years of sadness and years of not being able to fulfill what I have put inside of them. And it did not matter how stubborn the Egyptians were. It did not matter how stubborn Pharaoh was. God said, this is my will and this is my plan, and I will do whatever it takes for my will and for my plan to unfold. And so I'm not going to go fully into the story, but we all know the 10 plagues that God brought down with a mighty hand. But the point I'm trying to make, there is no one and nothing and nobody in this entire world that can stop the will and the plan of God from unfolding. Whatever God's plan is, it will absolutely come to pass. Whatever God's plan is will absolutely be effective. Whatever God says will be victorious. I don't care what's in the way, it will be victorious. And whatever is in opposition to God's plan will ultimately deal with the negative consequences that comes against standing against the plan and the will of God. And so I pray that Lighthouse Church of Independence and the members of that church will not be anybody that wants to stand in the way with the will of God, but we will be a group of people that says, I'm going to go with the flow of the will and the plan and the purpose of God. I want to be a part of his vision and his will. Anyone in opposition to the plan of God is going to lose. And looking at our scripture here in Matthew 16, we see that Jesus is communicating something that I see applicable to our theme for 2019. But before I reveal what our theme is, I want us to first see how he first asked questions in order to gauge where the world is concerning their understanding of him. He first asked his disciples a basic question to gauge the prevailing thought of what was the talk of the town concerning who he was. And of course, they gave various responses. Oh, he's talked about maybe being John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or, you know, one of the random prophets that we came and killed so many times in the Old Testament. And God says, that's all good of what the people in the world, the people that have no intimate connection with me, but I need to stop and ask the people that have had a closer experience with me, those that have been walking with me for a few years, those that know why I've been around, those that I have discipled, the ones that I have communicated with, the ones that I have done great miracles and signs and wonders, the ones that I have affected some way or another in their life, the one that I have influenced, the one that I have been around, that's who I care about. I need to know what you think about me. And so I say the same thing to this church right now, and I say that God is asking those that have felt his presence, those that have had their sins washed away, those that know that God has been a prayer answering God, and where God has made a way out of no way, God says, you are the one that I need to ask, who do you say that I am? Do you have an understanding of who I am? Because I've done so much in your life. I'm not so concerned with the world thinks about who I am. I need to know, do the apostolics know who I am and what I am capable of doing? And so I ask you the same question that Jesus is here right now asking us, the same question. I have been influential in your life. I have blessed you in this place. I have brought you out of darkness into my marvelous light. And so the question is, who do you say that I am? Who do you profess me to be in your life? It's a very important, basic question that Jesus is asking. And the reason why he asked this question is because if they don't know who I am, then I will not be able to give my purpose to them. I can only give my purpose and my ultimate plan and my ultimate will to those that know who I am. If they don't know who I am, then there's no point in expounding my purpose upon them, expounding my blessing upon them, expounding my strength upon them, and giving them any type of anointing that will make them more than overcomers. Because my purpose is going to include those and that will flow with those that know who I am. And so I'm just trying to set a foundation in somebody's heart. The Lord always tell me, build a foundation, because I don't want you to preach just to preach. I want you to get into their minds and cause them to think about what I'm trying to prepare for them, and don't let them just go through motions and not dig into what God is trying to stir in somebody's heart. God is trying to stir somebody up saying, do you know who I am? Because when you know who I am, I'm about to reveal my purpose to you. And I want the purpose of God, because whatever God wills, it is going to happen, and I want to be a part of his plan. And he says, I refuse to allow anybody or anything to deter me from my purpose. And so one moment, Peter steps up and says, hey, Lord, I know who you are. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord says, yeah, praise God, flesh and blood did not give that to you, but the Father has. And he felt really good about it. But when the Lord begins to say, well, now you understand who I am, now here's my purpose, and that's where the problem began to unfold. Because most of us want to say, yeah, I know who God is. Yes, I know who Jesus is. But when he begins to talk about some things that are going to hurt and be painful and be comfortable, and when he begins to tell you that things are not going to work out the way you thought they would, you see, you thought that when I was proclaimed as the Son of God, that I would set up my earthly kingdom right now. In other words, Peter said, God, I rebuke you, because isn't it time for you to set up the kingdom so that I can sit on your right hand or your left hand? In other words, Peter was saying, yeah, I know who you are, so I need you to live your life according to what my plan is now. I know that you have the power to do all things. And so I'm not interested in your plan. I'm interested in your power to make my life comfortable. I'm interested in knowing who you are so that I can have a good seat among your kingdom. And Jesus said, you are missing the purpose of who I am. The basic principle of who I am is to be able to preach the gospel to all creatures. And I'm trying to equip somebody to be a part of that purpose. And so if you think your purpose, for my purpose is fulfilling your will, then bless God, you are in a satanic influence. Please hear me right now. Jesus turns to one of his closest disciples and says, his name is not Peter, but Satan. Are you telling me that no matter how quote unquote spiritual you are in one moment, you can actually operate under satanic influences in the next? When you are walking outside the will of God, amen, you are walking in satanic territory. Amen. Jesus did not mince words to somebody he had just gave authority and power to. Why is that principle so important for this young, bolding, and budding church? It's because we can never say, well, we had great things happen in our past, and now we want our own self-fulfilling will to happen. We want all the blessings of God and the favor of God to happen, because we know he has come into our life, and God says, I rebuke you. Unless you are submitted to my purpose and to my will, then you are now operating in dangerous and even satanic territory. And a lot of people won't believe that. But look at your life and see a downturn that will happen when you begin to figure out things on your own way and do things your own way. You will see real quick that the will of Satan is being unfolded in your life, because the only will you have for your life is to fulfill the will and the purpose of God. And you are outside the will of God. If your plan is not God, if you're going to a cross, then go to a cross and die, because it's not about my will, it's about your will being done. So Jesus had to come and make something clear. My will is not being done. You're operating under satanic influences. So we have to look at all the things that we have received and encountered in God and take inventory. That's why we put all these signs up. Doesn't it look nice? Am I fulfilling my plan or God's plan? I want to be a part of God's plan. Because plain and simple, God's plans are better. I believe it was Vince Lombardi, since today is Super Bowl Sunday, thought this would be appropriate. One of the winningest coaches in professional football, who after losing a game met with his team. After they lost a game, he met with them in the locker room. And as he faced these seasoned, hardened men who knew football in and out, he held up a football and said, "Men, this is a football." He began to remind them of some of the basics of the game. "Men, we must get back to the basics." Lombardi knew the importance of never forgetting the basics of the game. The strength of their game lay in the foundation of football, the very basics of what a football is. And the Lord, in November of last year, put it strongly on my heart to say, tell the church. And I knew this might happen, but the hat up. We were prepared for this. All right. I need some help. Kane, come on up here. There's a ladder in there. Grab the ladder. Oh, so suspenseful, is it not? I was supposed to pull the string. It's supposed to come out. I can't reach that one. Josh, where you at, man? Pull that string the other way. There you go. Are you guys laughing at me or with me? All right. Here, just grab that and just unfold the... I'm going to hold it for you. Go ahead, Upper Canyon. Oh, there you go. We got it. He got it. Keep on pulling it. God is wanting this church to go back to the basics. He says there's no need to complicate this thing, but there are some things that the church has to know. And what was it? It was what he told Peter after the word of revelation. He says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." I want the church to know that the gates and the simplicity of the gospel is this, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church must understand that there's nothing that can stop the church of the living God. And if I'm a part of the church of the living God, there's no devil that can stop what God wants to do inside of my life. His plan, his purpose, his power is going to flow through a church that goes back to the basics and say, "I believe that's for me. I believe that in my life there won't be anything the devil can stop what God is trying to do." The foundation point I want to make, and I'm going to move quickly as I can. Peter, when this church is built, you have to know the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. And as we look into what God is going to do through us this year, we have to take a hold of eight. I want you to understand, this was a prophetic word. The church was not yet birthed. The day of Pentecost had not yet happened. But the Lord himself was prophesying himself and say, "Anything I have spoken in a word of prophecy is going to happen, and so I must create an expectation within those that know who I am." And if you know who I am, then you expect there's no devil in hell that will defeat you. There's no issue in your life that God won't make you more than a conqueror in. This is not hype. This is not emotionalism. It's a word of faith that I must deliver to you as an assignment from God. If you believe in this one God and his name is Jesus, this is a principle foundation that you have hope in, that everything is going to be all right because you serve the one true and all powerful God. So he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, I'm not just going to preach this thing, just get a hand clap, but I want something inside of you. No, hear me. I'm not preaching it to get a hand clap. I just want to preach this until it gets in your spirit to where it's not just a message or another message from your pastor on a weekly basis, but you say, this is a word from God for me. And the word of God is, the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates that have locked you from things that you feel you can no longer access. Some of you feel like when you come to church, you just go through motions and you don't really feel the presence of God. I tell you, that's a gate, but that same gate will come down the same way the walls of Jericho come down when somebody will raise their hand and open up their mouth and say, I'm going to see a manifestation of the glory of God. That when they walk around those walls, they say, we're going to see an impossible thing come down. Are you ready this year for impossible walls? To come down. The gates that have kept you from being free from your addictions. Now, of course, sometimes we as Christians want to highlight all the major ones, you know, pornography, alcohol and drugs and nicotine. But maybe for majority of us, that's not your addiction. But some of us are addicted to things that might be far worse, because there are things in the closet. But those things in your closet hinders you from public worship. You're not free to raise your hands because you know what you do in secret. But I come to tell you, by the authority of the word of God, for those secret places as well, those walls and those gates are also coming down in the name of Jesus. Am I talking to any true person here today that know you had some struggles last year? You know you had some hang-ups last year. Am I talking to anybody that had some apathy, that had some fear, that had some doubt, that had some worry, that had some places that God said that not my intention for you? And so I take you back to the basics. At the will of God said this year, those gates are coming down by the authority of the word of God. Those addictions are going to be made free in the name of Jesus. The gates that have kept you from walking in your destiny. There are people here, you're not even trying anymore. You're not even trying. Your destiny is too far away. It's too hopeless. It's a gate. It's a barrier you can't cross. It's a barrier you can't get over. But back to the basics. This is the very foundational of what Jesus says is going to happen. Do you believe it's going to happen? You got to believe it's going to happen. You got to believe it's for you. At those gates of hindering your destiny, what you know you really want to fulfill in your home, in your life, in your health, I want you to have some faith and some expectation that it's not hopeless. And I'm going to try like I never have tried before, but I'm not trying up myself. I'm trying. I'm going back to the basics of the powerful prophetic word of God. And if Jesus said, no gate will stand against what I'm going to do, that I'm storming the enemy's gates and I'm going to reach my destiny. I'm going to be a prayer warrior. Come on, somebody. I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to be somebody that sees a manifestation of the glory of God in my life. And everything I do is not in vain. It's an operation that I believe the word of God, and that these walls and these gates are not going to prevail. There are gates. Please hear me. This is for everybody. There are gates that have kept you in debt. Why is it a problem in the kingdom of God? Because if you're locked up in debt, you're a slave to your job. And you cannot fulfill God's purpose and let it flow through you, because you're more concerned about making sure of the natural things getting taken care of first. But Jesus told Peter bluntly, if you're not operating in what I just called you to do, if you're not walking in your authority, then now you just opened up a window to satanic influences. And we wonder why sometimes in our life we keep going through these cycles and these things and these headaches. We say, how come it keeps happening to me? The question I must ask myself is, am I in God's purpose? Because if I'm not in God's purpose, I just open the door for satanic influences, and I can't get mad at God. I can't get mad at the church. But if I would say, you know what? There's some things that I see in the word of God that the gates of hell cannot prevail, and this will be a year I might not cancel my debt, but I'm walking towards getting out of debt. Come on, somebody. You got to start agreeing with what I'm saying. Aren't you tired of being a slave to the devil and to the world? Don't you want to be free with your family to support the kingdom of God and do things that God wants you to do? I want to tell you, you got to say, I might not be there physically date right now, but there's a word I now will get in my spirit and go back to the basics, and I'm getting out of debt in the name of, come on somebody, come on somebody, come on somebody. I will not be a slave to debt. This is the year I'm made free. I'm coming out. This ain't the will of God to be a slave to my job. I thank God for all the blessings in that area, but I will not be slave to money. I'm going to be free from all of that. There are gates that have kept you sick. It's always a touchy area when we talk about sickness. And I keep talking to God about it. And the Lord put a word in my heart. I'll give a whole message about it. You got to start praying things that you don't expect. If we're honest, you don't expect your healing, so you don't pray for your healing. I mean, you might say those words, but you don't really expect it. And the Lord just spoke a simple word and says, this is going to be a year you're going to start praying for things you just don't expect. If we're honest, we're frustrated in a lot of areas because it's not going to change. So I'll just be frustrated. And the Lord spoke in my heart. Tell him, go back to the basics and tell him that gate is coming down in the name of the Lord. This will be a year that we will see more sicknesses healed. Come on, you got to agree. Come on, come on, come on. This will be a year that cancer is going to dry up. This is a year in the name of Jesus. I speak the words with authority that the same chronic issues that have plagued your life, that you've been desperate for, that you said, God, enlarge my territory for, that you said, I'm setting my affections on the Lord. I've been moving forward. You're the seed, all these banners. I'm saying this is a year of completion. This is a year that I'm holding on to the promises of God. It's not hype. It's the spoken word of God. The gates are not going to prevail among those that say, I believe it. I get a hold of it. Come on, clap your hands and say, sickness will be canceled in the name of Jesus. A passive gate. Passiveness is trying to choke the church. Passiveness. Let's not be aggressive about anything in the things of God. Just put it on cruise control. And whatever happens, happens. That's not what Jesus said. And so no longer can I accept that. Is that your call today? And say, I refuse to be passive. But anything that the Lord says has to be canceled. I'm raising my hands and say, in the name of Jesus, I am canceling passiveness in my life. I shall be a prayer warrior. If you want to be a prayer warrior, I'm asking you to stand on your feet, lift your hands, open up your mouth, and say, I'm going back to the basics. I'm going to pray like I never prayed before. I'm going to open up my mouth like I never have before. I'm going to walk up and down the aisles, and I'm going to pray the word of God. God, by your will and God, by your stripes, I am healed. And by the authority that you've given your church, the gates of hell shall not prevail. I will not be passive. I will not be in the back seat. I will not act like I have no control. No. All power is given to Jesus. And Jesus said, you can have it as well. Jesus said, all authority under heaven and earth is mine. Church, do you want it? 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 Church, do you want it?
Yeah, things that have kept you in the shadows because you've been ashamed of your past. You've been ashamed of your mistakes. And so it's a gate. And so it's a barrier. And so it's a wall. I'll keep my distance. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I'll stay where I'm at. Jesus is saying, attack the gates of condemnation. Attack the voices that says you're not good enough. You've hurt too many close people around you. You've come short of the glory of God. Don't go after it. You're not worth it. Jesus doesn't love you. People around you won't believe in you. I'm going back to the basics. And we sang that song. The blood of Jesus will never lose its power. And so when I'm walking towards those gates, I'm not walking naked. I'm walking with the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. That when I start walking in my authority, I'm not walking self-empowered. I'm empowered by a higher power that says there is therefore now no condemnation that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Where does that Spirit come from? That Spirit came from the basic gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And Jesus said, Peter, can I remind you, if I don't go away, I can't send my comforter. And so when you mess up, you need the comforter to tell you, I'm going to lead and guide you anyhow. I'm going to pick you back up so you can walk into your future, so you can walk into your destiny. The reason why you got to go back to the basics, it goes back to that old rugged cross that said that you didn't do it. I did it for you. But now take advantage of the blood and the mercy of Jesus Christ and say, devil, I refuse to walk in condemnation. I'm walking towards the blessings of God.
All right, with all that. Church, Peter, here's your authority. You are going to be able to bind and loose. I've been in church all my life. I heard that time and time again. What does it mean? I've been to farms where we try to catch a pig or something with a rope or a chicken or a cow. It's something that has been running wild that needs to be captured. There's been some thoughts in your life and some actions in your life and some problems in your life that have been running wild. And it's causing all type of anxiety and chaos in your mental state. And it is uncontrollable. It's wild. It's loose. It's untamed. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you this morning? And you feel you don't know if you're coming or going. You can't get a grasp around your marriage. You can't get a grasp around your health. You can't get a grasp around your money. There's things that are just running wild that you feel so helpless in. And so it's hard to give God glory when you feel like you are helpless. You see, you say, what's the point? But the Lord says you're missing the basics of who you are as the church anointed for my purpose. I'm giving you the power to bind and hold up the things that have been running wild. And you are now, if you focus in on the problem and realize that the solution is in Jesus, you will get your lasso and you will start wrapping up stuff that have been running crazy all in your mind and in your life. If that's anybody right now, raise your hand and get your lasso and say, this is a year that I'm going to change my
my mindset. My mind will stop running wild. My negativity will stop running wild. I bind all those things by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And you are going to be able to loose. So now loosing means there's things that have you tied up, stuck, hopeless, strongholds. It's holding you down. Thoughts keeping you captive. You don't want to soar. You're afraid to soar. You're afraid to step out. You're afraid of a lot of things because you don't want to fail. You're bound up by those fears. And there's fears that is limiting you from growing in God. There's fears and worries that are stopping you from putting 100% into this thing because you have fears and you have strongholds that say no. Stronghold, by definition, is a mindset, a value system, a thought process that literally hinders your growth and your progression. And so God is saying, I'm still the God of the breakthrough. I'm still the God that will break every chain, break every chain, and break every chain. Because I sense in the Holy Ghost so strong, not just right now, but in prayers concerning this church. I see eagles. I have vision of eagles that are ready to get off the ground and out of their nest and soar into apostolic authority. Am I just making that up? Or is there some people here that's been praying and saying, I'm ready to reach like I've never reached before? Am I making this up? Or is there anybody that says, I'm so tired of being around chicken coops. I'm so tired of pecking at the ground. I'm so tired of false starts. I'm so tired of being wrestled in my nest. I'm ready to go higher in the things of God. I'm ready to soar. And I tell you, here's the Lord right now, ready to break up those strongholds and free you this year like never before. If that's you, reach out and say, God, I want to soar. God, I want to go higher. Time. Can I dig a little bit more? We're going to hear it right now as a theme. It will be reiterated throughout the year. Paul gives us this revelational insight. 2 Corinthians 10:3. He says, church, for though we walk, hear me, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're not in the natural, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the what? The knowledge of God, who God is. And the Lord says, take it a little bit deeper. Remember what he told Simon Bar-Jonah. He says, flesh and blood have not revealed it. It was a principle that says the deeper things that we must understand. We go back to the basics. It is not a natural battle that you are fighting. It is a spiritual battle. You must go back to the basics and understand, well, then if it's not a natural battle, I'm not going to fight my spouse. I'm not going to fight the natural. I'm going to fight in the spirit. I'm going to go back to the basics and get on my knees and cry out to the one who has all knowledge. He says the knowledge of him. I thought about it a little bit more. I say, what is the knowledge of him? And I realize he is an omniscient God, which means he is an all-knowing God. And so if I'm trying to fix it myself, it's pointless. If I can turn my eyes to a one that's in the past, the present, and the future, he says, I'll give you strategies to get out of the box that you are in, that you will look up to high, up to heaven, and recognize that's where your help comes from. It's not a natural war, it's a spiritual war. And if you know the all-knowing God, and then you are confident that he will give you the strategies you need in your natural situations. Now, listen, as I wrap it up, we've been here, Brother Wheeler, 8 years this week. It marks the 8 years Now, when you're doing something for a while, sometimes things get muddied, forgotten, overlooked, ritualistic, maintenance mode, taken for granted, go through motions. And what can happen that if a church forgets its identity, it will lose momentum and not operate in what it's supposed to operate in. And so Jesus says, tell them, go back to the basics. Satan wants us to forget our original purpose. Way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 was something original that Jesus is telling us go back to. I will put enmity between you and the woman. He's talking to the Satan. And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Satan is afraid of us going back to that basic scripture. Satan wants us to forget that we now have already had the Messiah come and be buried, praise God, and rose again. And Satan is trying to distract us from understanding this right now is our moment. This right now is our day. And as we are on the eighth year, Lighthouse Church of Independence, that means according to the number eight, it is a year of renewal. Raise your hands right now. It is a year of restoration. It is a year of regeneration. It is a year of reclassification. It is a year of excitement, because the number eight signifies a new beginning. And so what am I preaching? Devil, I want you to hear us loud and clear. We're going back to what the original church was created for. But we're not going by ourselves. It's not by might. It's not by power. But I'm going under the authority of the Spirit of God. Praise God. Lighthouse Church, it's the eighth year. And so I say, it will be a year of recovery. It will be a year of resurgence. It will be a year of revival. It will be a year of rededication. Do you see the flood coming our way? I tell you, I prophesy in the name of Jesus. Just go ahead and agree with me. It's our time to be blessed. It's our time to go back to the basics and say, I will not lie, but I will live. I'm going back to the basics. I'm going to be a worshiper like I never worshiped before. I'm going to be a praiser like never before. I'm going to be a hand clapping, foot stomping, out running. I'm going to be sanctified. It's my year of revival. Hey, I'm going back to the basics. I'm going to walk in my mission. I'm going to walk in my calling. I'm going to walk in my assignment. I'm walking towards my destiny. Are you agreeing with the word of the Lord today? It's a year I'm going to thrive. It's a year I'm more alive. It's a year I'm going to flourish. It's a year I'm going to overtake. I'm going to overrun. I'm going to leap over a wall. I'm going to jump over a troop. It is the word of the Lord. I want you to stand on your feet with me this morning. I want you to raise your hand and say, I'm going back to the basics. I'm going to go ahead and stomp the head of my enemy. Let the joy of the Lord flood your soul right now. Let there be a spirit of expectation rise up in this church. What are we saying as a church? This is a church anthem. This church believes for our church and for our individual lives. Satan, I'm going back to the basics. And what Jesus spoke, he's speaking to us. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The eighth day, a a Jewish male child was circumcised, which represented the covenant agreement that God made to Abraham. And God told Abraham, since there is none greater, I swear by myself, I'm going to bless you. Because he was in covenant agreement with God. Do you know, when you were baptized in the name of Jesus, it has to be in the name of Jesus. All power is in the name of Jesus. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is Jesus. And so when you take on the name of Jesus in baptism, you have now have become in covenant agreement with the plan of God. Can you tell me today we're going to be defeated? Absolutely not. So just shake your head and say, I'm going to get what God says is mine because I am in covenant agreement. Now lift your hands right now. Let's pray a closing prayer in the name of Jesus. Help us to believe in Mark 16:17 that these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Joel 2:25, and I will restore to you the year that the cankerworm and the locusts have eaten, and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty. You will be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men see visions, and upon my servants and upon my handmaids in those days I will pour out my spirit. Devin, come on up here. I want you to listen to me right now as we close. The Spirit of God has to be released right now. The Spirit of God has to be released right now. It's on. It's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I want you to raise your hand right now to Jesus. And you got to say it for yourself.